Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. I retrieved our this thing. That was some time ago. I wasn't around. I asked my wife to take this to look for it and bring it and let's use it again, but she didn't find it. But today I retrieved it. This was one of those things we did at the beginning, if you remember. School of our all these prayers that we wrote down, which I encourage everybody to use. I'm going to read some of the scriptures we read that time. And let me just share something with us briefly, and then we just pray a bit, and then we close. Alright. If you have your Bibles, quickly open to the book of Luke chapter 18. The book of Luke chapter 18. It's a scripture we have read several times on this subject. From verse 1, it said, now he was telling them a parable to show that at all times men ought to pray and not to lose heart or to faint, King James says. Now, verse 1, let me say that again. The reason why he said that men ought always to pray and that they should not faint is because there is a tendency to faint. Life will always tempt you to lose heart. That's a matter of fact. If Jesus said you should not lose heart, it is because there is a likelihood that you would lose heart if you're not warned about it ahead of time. And why should somebody lose heart in the matter of prayer? Who can quickly tell me that? Quickly, somebody tell me, why should somebody lose heart when it comes to the matter of prayer? Thank you very much. That is, the answer doesn't come quickly. That's the reason why you will lose heart. So I want us to understand that answers don't always come quickly. In fact, Jesus was teaching here to warn ahead concerning it, that a lot of times your answer won't come on time. And for that reason, he was warning that people should pray and not get tired of praying. He said, this is a parable. I won't read most of it, just that verse 1 that's most important. So let's just rush through the rest. This is what he said about the parable. Verse 2, there was in a city, a certain city, a judge who did not fear God and did not respect man. Again, that is a sign, that is a type of God. People say that God is not an unjust judge, like King James says. But what he was saying, in effect, here, is that there's no God for this judge to fear and did not respect man. And that's exactly how God is. Now, he said there was a widow in that city, and I kept coming to him saying, give me legal protection from my opponent. And for a while, he was unwilling. But afterward, he said to himself, even though I do not fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow bothers me, I will give her legal protection, lest by continually coming, she wear me out. Now, he said, hear what the unrighteous judge said. Now, shall not God bring about justice for his elect who cry to him day and night? And will it delay long over them? I tell you that he will bring about justice for them speedily. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the heart? Now, please, I want you to understand something here. That's on the heart. Will he find faith on the earth? That's the thing. I was wondering where. It sounded strange in my ears, all right? Now, let me just explain something here. What Jesus was saying. Now, he was using the sign of somebody who is unwilling, alright? Using the example of somebody who is unwilling to explain what God would do for us, anybody, his children especially, under certain conditions. But he was using that as an extreme, that even somebody who is unwilling, if you persistently come to him, eventually he will be forced to do something. Are you getting my point? Alright, now, there are two sides to this. Let me just start with one and say something briefly about the other side. Now, the first side is this. He said God is willing, alright? And that because even an unwilling person will eventually budge. So now that you know that God is willing, don't be tired, alright, of coming. Now, he did not explain why it will appear that God is unwilling. But the fact is that from verse 1, we know that for the person praying, sometimes it will appear as if God is unwilling. That's what I want to bring out. That's the first side. Jesus said it clearly that God is unwilling. God is willing. He's not unwilling. But even though he's willing, it will appear sometimes that he's not willing. And that's why he told the story of the person who is unwilling. That's the second side. Do you understand? That even the unwilling person, if you harass him enough, he will accept to perform. Even how much more the person who is actually willing. That's one. But what I want to bring out is the fact that it appears like he's unwilling. Do you understand what I mean? It appears like he's unwilling. And there are many reasons why it appears like that. But Jesus wasn't teaching us that here. But what he was just saying is that no matter what appears like, once we know exactly what we are praying about to be the will of God, all right, let's not get tired of praying about them. And please, what I'm bringing out is that sometimes people get tired because of the delayed answers. And now we are one ahead. Please, no matter what the circumstances look like, don't think that God is not going to come through. There are many reasons why there's a delay. Remember the story of Daniel, that God sent an angel to the very day he started praying. And then for 21 days, he didn't see any manifestation. At the end of 21 days, the angel showed. And then one day my wife and I discussed it. Said, what would have happened if Daniel had left that place? And that's what Jesus was saying. Do not get tired. You understand? If Daniel had left the place of prayer, believe me, the angel would have had to turn back. Because if he reached there, now what kept the angel persisting in trying to come was that Daniel was waiting for the answer. Are you getting my point? So if Daniel had left along the line, it's not that the angel, as if the angel did not, wouldn't have succeeded in coming eventually. But for many reasons, the angel was resisted. And I don't have time to explain it today. Now, spiritual things are interesting. There are many things that go on. The fact that it was not just a matter of strength, you know, physical strength. Who's more powerful than who that delayed the angel for 21 days? It wasn't. No, really, it wasn't. If it was the case, listen. Look. Why didn't God send Michael the first day? Or you think God did not know that the angel is going to have problems for 21 days? Have you thought about that? Why did he not dispatch Michael? Say, okay, Michael, see this guy is going on an errand, but man, the battle is strong. So you go ahead of him and clear the road so I can pass through quickly. Why didn't he do that? I say, if God doesn't do something, it's because one or two things. Either it's not your time to do it or it's not doable. And you know, say, is there something that God cannot do? Why didn't he force everybody to give their lives to Christ? Do you get what I'm going to explain? Let's never forget that thing, all right? The reason is that there are certain principles and laws that he has set in place. And whatever the principles or laws that were in place at that time, that was causing those things, those spirits to have the power to resist the angel of God. One thing we know for sure is that Daniel's persistent prayer eventually caused a breaking of the barrier. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? All right, so many things delay answers. No, take Nigeria as an example, all right? Sometimes we look at our country as an example. Sometimes you're walking on the road, like I traveled today, all right? You just look, there are things that just really break your heart. Now, I was telling my wife about something that the Bible says in the book of Isaiah, that those who turn away from evil make themselves a prey. I explained the principle behind that thing, and she realized that this thing is really a serious problem. Sometimes you see that the work system is arranged in such a manner that doing right becomes almost impossible. Do you get my point? Almost. I use the word almost, okay? And the Bible said that God saw those things and it displeased him. Okay? Now, what I'm realizing is that, so we pray about such things in our country. And it's as if the more you pray about it, the less the answer is coming. When you look at that, it appears as if God is not answering. But what Jesus said is that, don't worry. There are things that are keeping things the way they are. And one of the things eventually, if you continue your prayer and you don't get tired, do you understand? One day, that's why you see that when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, it were like them that did what? That dream. It was as if it was a dream. Because by yesterday, do you understand? Nothing was happening. You know, if you saw constant progress, it wouldn't be a dream when a deliverance comes. The issue actually is that even though you don't see the progress physically, spiritually, the progress is actually going on. Are you getting my point? So the day it finally breaks is when it will manifest physically. And then we'll now say when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, it was as if we're dreaming. What am I trying to bring out here? What Jesus was telling us is that we must not ever get tired of praying. He now said, nevertheless, when the Son of Man will come, all right, will he do what? Find faith on the earth. That's the next thing I want to remind us of quickly. Let's quickly open to the book of James chapter 1. We studied that one before. That's the issue of my persistent prayer. I'm just reminded of what we said that time. The book of James chapter 1. So you see, whether you see a manifestation physically or not, spiritually something is constantly going on. And it actually doesn't really turn back. Just like what happens is that a lot of times, by the time the angel is finally getting through with our prayer, we have gotten tired and we have left. You know, Paul said in the book of Galatians, he said, let's not get tired of doing good, because in due season we'll reap our reward if we faint not. A lot of people, they miss the reward of their persistent prayer because they got tired and they fainted. Do you understand the point? Then by the time the result came, they were no longer there. And that's what we say would have happened to Daniel if he did not persist to the manifestation. All right, all right. Now Jesus said, nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Now, this is what James said about that matter of faith. From verse 5, he said, but if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, without any doubting. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Now, please, I want to just notice something here. Verse 6 said, but let him ask in faith without any doubting. I said something to us before, and I want to reiterate it at this point. Now, when we talk about faith, all right, in this context, faith has many uses in the Bible. Plenty, all right? Basically, it talked about having your trust, all right, placing your trust in God. But in this context, what it was saying is that a man has made a request of the Lord, and he's not changing his mind concerning what he's asking God for. What happens is sometimes that we modify our request based on the surrounding circumstances. Are you getting what I'm saying? Well, it's what we think is possible. It's what we start asking about. Because when we started, the thing looked so difficult. After we had prayed for a while, alright? The events of the earth suddenly said, let me give you an example. Now let's assume that you want to go for, just a practical example. You want to go for a course, alright? Maybe somewhere in let's say Spain. I don't know why I chose Spain, but Spain as an example. Chidi, a member of the European Union, yeah? Alright. You want to go to Spain. And then you've been praying so that God will send money. And this is a very nice course and everything. You've been praying for money, for visa, for everything, for admission, for everything. They are not the line. You now hear that European Union has, ever since Farouk Abdulmutallab decided to try to blow up a plane, visas to all European Union countries now very difficult. You understand my point? So you now change your prayer that God, maybe we can take this course to South Africa. Do you understand the point? That is what the Bible calls double-mindedness in this context. Do you understand? That, this man has changed his mind. Why? Because he watched CNN and they announced to him that, in fact, maybe because his surname is one kind of Mohammedic kind of name like that. The guy said, nothing for me again. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, that's what the Bible calls double-mindedness. All right? We now modify the thing, all right, because of surrounding circumstances. The Bible says such a man does not receive. Even that South Africa, he won't get it. Even that South Africa, he won't get it. If he says, okay, God, forget South Africa, let's just use Unilag. Unilag go close. You follow what I'm saying? As I tell Paul, when you want to pray, don't pray prayers that are dependent upon, you know, circumstances, surrounding events. Pray based on the foundation. I don't want to go into that now. What I mean is that what you are really looking for, you know, like, for example, if you probably are not asking God for, let me think of a car. You're not asking God for a Honda, really. A Honda Accord is not your problem. You want a very decent, nice car that is comfortable, has all the works, the American specs, you know, that kind of thing, that is very, very new, that can carry you around. Pray it like that. Don't mention the name Honda. That's my personal advice. Some people will say, no, fix it. Is that your problem? If it works for you like that, fine. The problem I have with that is that next year, Honda will no longer be in vogue. You will discover that you like something else. And you now suddenly become a double-minded man. Do you understand the principle? Yeah, you suddenly become a double-minded man. Who says that you have to be specific concerning what you want? How can you be specific about what you don't even know? You know, there are things that they are going to invent next year. And which you meet your needs very well. I don't know whether you understand what I'm trying to make, alright? So that's what I tell you, what I'm advising, alright? Go to the bottom of the thing you are really looking for. I'll give an example. People talk about houses and all of that. I have never been able to say, God, I want to land in this place or in this place because I don't know where I'm going to be next year, 2 years' time. I have no idea. But there are things that I really, really desire. I see them in magazines, I see them on TV, I see them around. Even God and I think we have agreed, we know what we are dealing with. That house can be in Johannesburg, I don't know. It can be in Enugu here. I hope it's not in Lagos, but it could be in Lagos. I hope it's not in Lagos, you know. I don't know why we live in places like Lagos. Alright, it'd be nice if it's a place like Abuja. You know, I like quiet, godly, prophetic areas. Alright? Alright, so that's just, I just wanted to remind us of that. So whatever we are asking for, people say you pray once and then that is it. Whether you repeat the request or you are using style to repeat. You know, there's a stylish way of repeating. Say, Lord, I thank you because I know you have done it. Just in case you have forgotten. You did the same thing, believe me. But of course, you see, you come to God with an attitude of thanksgiving all the time. It's very, very important. They have an attitude of thanksgiving. He said, be careful for nothing. But with all prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. All right, so I just want to remind us of those things that we have talked about. I said something before. Let me say it again, like what I just said. That we don't come here to pray, we come here to begin to pray. Do you understand my point? That whatever we say here, go back home and say them. I recommended some messages that time, alright? There are prayers, I hope you listen to it. Aggressive prayer. I recommended it. If you didn't get it that time, go and look for somebody who got it. If you listen to aggressive prayer, you will really be blessed. You will see Derek Prince explain how the Holy Spirit gave him words. And last Tuesday, I wanted to pray about our country. I don't know whether I will count today. Maybe I'll leave for next time. And I'll pick out some verses of the scripture that we can use. You don't have to be innovative in prayer. Do you get my point? You don't have to use fantastic words. You don't know what to say. They are proper, especially in the book of Psalms. And if you can dissect, you find a lot of them in the play like Lamentations of Jeremiah, in Jeremiah itself, in the book of Isaiah. You see words, proper words that you can use to address certain situations. You know, there's nothing in life that has not been addressed by the word of God. There's nothing. There is nothing. There is nothing. And when you locate the words, all right, that have been used in the word of God to address that kind of situation, you've just found your prayer. Do you understand? Take those words, print them out, if possible, paste it somewhere where you can see it, and read it out every day. This is the origin of errors that we find. People start using prayer books that have no meaning. The reason why the thing started was because the concept of prayer books had a meaning at the beginning. Then it lost its meaning, and people now turn into a tradition that doesn't have a meaning. When the disciples of Jesus came to him and said, teach us to pray as John the Baptist taught his disciples to pray. That's as John taught disciples to pray. They were not telling him, come and give us 17 principles of connecting the Spirit of God, 21 ways to send the face of God in the midst of adversity, 12 principles of how to position yourself in relation to the Son when you are going to pray. No. When they said, teach us to pray, what they were asking him for, give us our own prayer. The way John gave his disciples their own prayer. And when he turned to them, he said, when you pray, say, the Lord is, I was going to say the Lord is my shepherd. I was wondering that, Jesus never quoted that, I remember. And our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And listen, for some of those things have lost meaning. When they say, thy kingdom come. For the people then, it had the meaning. Are you getting my point? How many of you are praying for electoral reform? You have not used it. Okay, a few people are. Now, that's the kind of thy kingdom come. When they said that, they said electoral reform come. That's what they are saying. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes, they really have something. Maybe some of us who are so concerned about law enforcement and justice, availability of justice in this country. There's no reason why you should be driving on the road. One local government man decides that road, everybody passing that day, must have paid, bought a sticker. In proper countries, no wahala. You will be happy when they do that to you. They're about to go bankrupt. If you will gladly stay there, waste your time, then say you missed a contract of $1.5 million because somebody wasted your time. Well, you know, where there's law and order, there are things people don't do because they'll be held to account. If you park somewhere, somebody comes to your vehicle, he had better be sure that it's a no parking zone. He has better be sure, because after he has taken the car away, you will go there nicely. Alright? This was where I parked my car. And you will now prove it's not a no parking zone. He is in trouble for towing your car. But in our country right now, you know, people do it and nothing happens. The worst that will happen is that they will say, sorry, you carry your car and go away. Your whole day has been wasted. You understand what I'm trying to say? Someone just wake up without warning. They just block the road. Who are you? You get my point? Nobody gives. But this is just, glorified armed robbery. Exactly, that's what it is. So those kind of things, you know, it's very, very annoying. So when you see Jesus tell them to say, thy kingdom come, what they were saying is that will come to an end. Are you getting what I'm saying? That kingdom will come in justice. So when they were using those words, it had meaning to them. So they could take those words and recite them. But sometimes we pick them now, we don't have any connection with a lot of those words. Believe me, that's why That's why we'll not take your right and start using it as patterns. It's right to use it as patterns. But what I'm trying to bring out is that using it as a pattern, we can decode our right and bring forth our own words, which is not unbelief, to repeat the same words every day until there is a manifestation of that answer. You know, Pentecostals are by nature very disorderly. You know that? That's, you don't know, Pentecostals, by nature we are disorderly people. By nature. we are very disorderly. Like I said, anytime you give a prayer point, till now I participate. Because that's how we all are. You give a prayer point in a public prayer meeting, what we do is to scatter. No, that's a normal thing. Everybody rise to your feet, rise to your feet. This is what we're going to pray about. Now begin to pray. Then suddenly we scatter. Hey, if it's a place like this where the chairs can be moved, we hear kuru 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 kuru. That's why I'm jamming the chairs up and down. And we think our prayers are more effective than those of Orthodox people. Not necessarily. I've said that the best form of public prayer, all right, that I have seen, having studied, now get my point, having studied the Word of God for a long time, having observed and learned, after I saw it, I found out that the best form of public prayer I have seen is the Catholic prayer of the faithful. See that pattern? That's how public prayer is supposed to be done. And when you see, there are 100,000 people gathered. All the it's not very good. Should have given the prayer points ahead of time. The elders should have sat down, analyzed what they want us to pray about, written it out, and somebody comes and takes that, and what we need to say is amen. And if we don't like him, we can give a line that we can all repeat. That is how public prayer is supposed to be done. All this disorder that marks Pentecostalism is not perfect at all. Believe me, no, Pentecostals like disorder. They're the ones that they don't, okay, at least they all agree when to start meetings. When to end, that's the one they are not sure of. According to my, you know, I was telling you about my convention I went for, the former president, Bremeka, he said that, he used to say when we were on campus, I mean, he was my senior university, and I graduated about, it'll be 20 years next year, all right? So, and he was my senior. But I met him in school, about 4 years my senior. Since we're in school, he used to say it. But that was the time the Holy Ghost movement entered at least our own fellowship also. He says, Holy Ghost, fire will go for practice. By the time you come there 2 hours later, they are laying hands on themselves, they are falling all over the place, and they are speaking in other tongues. So what is going on? He says, it's Holy Spirit. Okay. The elders will keep quiet so that it will be like they are the one quenching the Spirit. They want it goes to fellowship. Fellowship will be 8 to 10. By 11, sometimes we are still there. 12. What happened? He says, Holy Spirit. He says, okay. That what worries him is not the Holy Spirit is taking us over. It's that this Holy Spirit only knows how to extend time. That he will really believe his Holy Spirit. If we start one day at 8 o'clock, and by 9, we close. And we say, why did we close? And we say, Holy Spirit. But the one that Holy Spirit only knows how to take us from 10 to 12. That to him, that Holy Spirit is seriously in doubt. He still repeated it a few days ago at this year's convention. More than 20 years he has been saying this thing. And of course, after many years, he too has come to understand it. That just Pentecostal misbehavior. A lot of things we do. Nothing spiritual about it. I'm not saying it's evil. You understand my point? We just have our own bad habits. Catholics have their bad habits. Anglicans have their bad habits. This is the Pentecostal bad habit. Disorder. Even pour her to write. Say, please now, guys, let everything be done decently and in order. How can 25 people prophesy in one single meeting? What's wrong with all of you? He says 2 or 3 maximum. It's enough. Oh, the Lord is good. What am I saying? There can be order, all right? Please go and listen to that message. You can recommend it several times. Aggressive prayer, but they reprint. It's a very nice and simple teaching. What I want to bring out for us there again is when you talk about the persistent, specific, Holy Spirit-inspired prayer. The way he described it, it's so beautiful. How God used him to bring some correction in the American political system. How God used him to turn the event of the Second World War, all right? You see it. And that, I described it a bit in that book, How to Work for God, where I described the prayer is work. I described it there. It's a very beautiful thing. I think you're going to listen to the message. All right? It really will bless you. It will bless you. All right? The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Okay, now. Let me just... we're going to look, like we normally do. Once we go through this, I think we'll just close. But before we do that, let's open our Bible to the book of Psalm, chapter 7. I want to just read verse 6 to 11. That's just, maybe we'll do that next week actually. Let me just do this today. It's one thing you can use to pray for the country. It says, "Arise, O Lord, in thine anger. Lift up thyself against the rage of my adversaries, and arouse thyself for me. Thou hast appointed judgment, and let the assembly of the peoples encompass thee. And over them return thou on high. The Lord judges the peoples. Vindicate me, O Lord, according to my integrity and my righteousness and my integrity that is in thee. O let the evil of the wicked come to an end, but establish the righteous. For the righteous God tries the hearts and minds. My shield is the Lord, who saves the upright in heart. God is a righteous judge, and a God who has indignation every day." Now, this thing, we'll come back to it next week, right? I just felt like introducing it. There are certain words I discovered here which are very potent for praying concerning our nation. Because I realized that, you know, I was reading an article in the Southern Guardian or Punch, one of those papers anyway. They're talking about the power sector, say Jonathan and the power sector, that's the acting president. And again, people analyzed the problem with the power sector. And you know, Nigeria as of today, I don't know how many megawatts we are producing, something around 3,000. There was a time we hit 5,000, then we'll come down to 2,000, then we'll go back to 5,005. But I think as of today, maybe like something like 3,000, I'm not very sure. And I was showing something to my wife. I thought the newspaper made a mistake when it described what South Korea is producing, so I will not repeat it. It's too plenty. So let me just give you the one South Africa produces. South Africa produces 50,000 megawatts. We are on 3,000. Now we are more than South Africans, right? They have 50,000 megawatts produced, and then we are hanging up and down somewhere around between 3,000 and 4,000 megawatts. Now that's a disgrace. That here, amen. Yeah, it's an insult, all right? Yeah, and the annoying part is that we can do it. On the surface of the earth, there are few nations as blessed as Nigeria is blessed. That's not a joke, though. I mean that literally. The whole of Enugu sits on coal, all right? Yes, literally. Sits on coal, all right? We have enough coal to power every coal fire station that we want to build for many decades to come. Now, I don't tell you about oil, you know that. I don't have to bring about the issue of natural gas, you know that. Then God spares us from natural disasters. Apart from a few pockets of fraud somewhere of drought somewhere towards the north, we are essentially spared natural disasters. Somebody said that I was reading the other day in the paper. I said yes, Nigeria's volcano has erupted before, 20,000 years ago. Yes, I just said if I slap this guy, so that we shouldn't think we are not in a volcano prone zone. I said, God just vexed, knock one hill open. It's in the, you could write 20,000 years ago. Abba. Well, even Adam was not around. Kind of joke is that one. Forget that side, I beg. You understand? I mean, most people, if we see cyclones in Nigeria, we'll be excited just to see one. We don't know the amount of destruction. Yes, I'm telling you. Yes, we can't produce power. Why? Simple thing is human factor. Let me summarize what I'm going to say. The simple thing is what? Wickedness. What did I call it? And don't be fooled. The average person shouting on the road, put him in charge tomorrow. And say, you, make sure you have power. Normally what happens is that the devil, through his agents, will show him the opportunity to make a billionaire. That's it. He takes the opportunity to make a billionaire. The sacrifice all the time is power. And this is most Nigerians are like that. I don't know the proportion. And what God is saying, that the people of God must not be like that. That's all God is saying. It's not concerned about everybody else. Do you understand my point? That's the only problem. That is the singular only problem. That is all. People who have the power to turn things around, just enjoy the fact that there's a problem. There are those they are selling so many generators, they don't want the problem to be solved. But when you solve it, an average American doesn't know how to start a generator. Except you are a camper, you work in construction, you construct in the bush, What's your problem with your generators? There was a time that they said Nigeria was buying 60% of all generators produced worldwide. 60%. Do you understand that? Only Nigeria. Okay? Now, the reason is simple. Let me just end it. The reason is what? Wickedness. What do I call it? Wickedness. Now, you have that kind of thing in mind. Alright? So, David now said in verse 7, they all let the evil of the wicked come to an end, but they establish the righteous. That's a very powerful prayer to pray concerning power in Nigeria. Are you seeing what I'm saying? That's verse 7, I just put it there. If you start from verse 6, it said, arise, O Lord, in thine anger. Lift up thyself against the rage of my adversaries, and arouse thyself for me, for thou hast appointed judgment. Okay, that's verse 9, sorry. That's what I was quoting just now, right? In verse 7, it said, let the assembly of the peoples encompass thee, and over them and all of that. It now came down to that verse 9. It said, O let the evil of the wicked come to an end, but establish the righteous. For the righteous God tries the heart and mind. He now said, my shield is with God, who saves the upright in heart. God is a righteous judge and a God who has indignation every day. Listen, that's a very, very, very good prayer to pray concerning a country like Nigeria. You know, I don't want to analyze Nigeria politics now. Next week we're going to do that. When we pray for the country again, you will see that, you know, they're always jumping from one party to the other in Nigeria. I think we will leave PDP today. Come back after a year and a half or 2 years, you will return. You see, one party will just, one man will, they just, you know what that tells you? Men don't have principles. That's what it tells you. They don't have principles. They don't have any ideologies. You know, normally, parties are based on ideologies. But you see, a country like Nigeria, parties are based on grabbing of power. That's all. So if PDP is in power, everybody comes to PDP. Why? They have no ideology. That's what it means. Alright? And this is won't come to an end except we seriously, alright, and persistently pray about them. Okay? Now, let's read another scripture just to show you another one. We'll read them again next week. That's Psalm 10. I'll just read this one, then we'll read our old prayer and then we'll leave this place for today. From verse 12. It said, arise, O Lord, O God, lift up thy hand, do not forget the afflicted. Why has the wicked spurned God? He has said to himself, thou wilt not require it. Thou hast seen it, for thou hast beheld mischief and vexation to take it into thy hand. The unfortunate commits himself to thee. Thou hast been the helper of the orphan. He said, break the arm of the wicked and the evildoer. Seek out his wickedness until thou dost find none. The Lord is king forever and ever. Nations have perished from his hand. O Lord, thou hast heard the desire of the humble. Thou would strengthen their hearts, thou would incline their ear to vindicate the orphan and the oppressed, that man who is of the earth may cause terror no more. I'm serious. You know, when you want, Nigeria has so much wickedness going on that there are too many prayers to use to attack them. No, read through the Bible, you see prayers against wicked people. They're full here, but plenty. Alright? Now, we're going to use them again next week. I just want to introduce that to you. That there's no situation in life that God doesn't have a word that he has spoken about. What the mistake we made over time, that's what I'm trying to bring us back to, is that men lost the spirit behind letters. Do you get my point? Therefore, when the Pentecostals showed up, they felt that everything you needed to do was to just Alright? Listen, I'm not saying it's totally bad, but it's inferior, believe me, to taking the words that has been recorded in the scripture that addresses that situation and simply, alright, just reciting them. Now, you're not just chanting a prayer. You're not the kind of prayer that, once I saw a Reverend Father come here perform a wedding ceremony. I knew this guy was, I don't think he saw the bride or the groom. That is, it was so automated. My brethren in the Lord, he was just walking away. Like his mind was just not there, but he didn't miss one word. Amen. Without looking, he has flipped his book over. I told my wife, I said, this is what I don't do this thing 10,000 times. He doesn't know what's going on anymore. No, the man was just reciting and reciting. I know sometimes we can use some things, we can say words so much that we now lose the content, the spirit behind them. But let's not forget, one of the ways, and listen to that, the reference message, you see it. I'm talking about persistent prayer again. when we have picked a word from the scripture, or we have formed our own word specifically about the situation, all right? Write them out simply and put the words there and read them out every day. Because with you, there is something you are, you know, there's a day to manifest, you know, that has been taken care of.